system and SSH into his and her system. This is the build, SSH into the build server I use for constructing a bunch of diskless workstations that we run on campus at Stanford. So there are a bunch of kiosk stations in the libraries, as well as prep release stations and visitor registration stations that have various things installed on them. They're basically have disk images that are loopback mounted, that are on an NFS server, and they're loopback mounted. The machine's pixie boot, and then connect to the NFS mount, and then loopback mount the actual disk image, and then just start up with that as a read-only file system. And there's we have some AUFS, the init scripts are hacked up a bit, so that there are AUFS mounts over the top of it, so that parts of the file system that need to be writable at least appear to be writable. So each of the images that we're managing are actually just disk images on this machine. So you can see there are a bunch of things ranging from 700 or 800 megabytes up to like 4 gigs. And I have some scripts set up. So I have some scripts set up so that we can mount those things and then CH root into the environment. This particular one is actually the environment for building packages. So there are a bunch of custom packages that I'm maintaining, and so there are a handful of custom packages I'm maintaining. And the general idea is that whatever the source, whatever the original project is, will have some sort of version control system. In these cases, it's been Git. And so I'll have a local Git repository that I can pull from, and I have my patches that I can rebase as the versions progress. So this, for example, is the set of, this is the patch, just running Git format patch that gets generated from the changes, so that we're doing all of the UnionFS stuff, for example. So then there's another Git repository that I've got here, and basically for each of those things, I'm maintaining. This has got a full. So you can see that a whole bunch of stuff in here. All of the actual packages are not being tracked in the Git repository. Just the PKG builds and the patches that I'm importing in. So I copy those patches over, and then I can run a package inside here, and then move these things on to my other systems to install them. And the in general, what I'm doing with the PKG builds is I'm actually making my own package name and then declaring an upstream package name so that I can use that for all of the host names and such. And then I'm identifying that it provides the upstream package, and that's been convenient because then I don't have to worry about the upstream package updates coming in without my knowing about it, because they won't upgrade over the top of this just because there's a new version out. So it gives me a chance to go and update my package when I need to. And so I've got these scripts that go through when I'm trying to actually modify a host and do all of the bind mounting and CH rooting, and then do the unmounting at the end. so that I can get in and make changes on the system in a relatively straightforward manner. So if I need to edit our release station image, for example, for a password, and then I get dumped in as root on that, and I can make whatever changes I need, come back out, and then when I'm done making changes, I just SCP over so Hoth is actually the server that's serving these up by NFS, so I'll SCP those things over. And the disk image ends up on the SSH server, and then I can change the Pixie booting configuration to so if I SCP a new thing over, then I'll change the Pixie boot configuration for the machines. And I don't know how familiar you guys are with how Pixie booting configuration stuff works, but basically the machines, when they connect in, will try to TFTP down a series of configuration files. They'll start with like a GUID, and then they'll go to their hardware address, and then they'll try their IP address, and then they'll start stripping bits off the back of their IP address and keep trying them. And so we control all of our machines by hardware address, and so when a machine's set up to be a kiosk or a release station or some such thing, its hardware address gets put in here, and then when we update the general dev and release station dev or release station, that'll basically push out the new image to all the things as soon as they're rebooted. So that was any questions?
Yeah. How many machines do you actually do the kind of process of this list booting?
We have about 140 machines running total. There are about 100 kiosks. So this will over top type 2. So we've got 30 release stations. So those are for, we have a homegrown print accounting system. So those things basically come up and they're running a web browser full screen with all of the UI turned off, and they just go to a web app that lets people go through and swipe their card. They don't have keyboards attached, but they have mice and little card reader things. And we've currently got a bit over 100 on the kiosk front. Those are more full featured. They're actually running GNOME environment and have Firefox and OpenOffice and events, and basically you're supposed to be able to get to all of the library catalog stuff with them and various other sources of databases. And we also have a couple of visitor registration stations for people who come and visit the library and print out things, basically. And they work almost exactly like the release station, but they're pointing to a different page.